When it comes to a healthy, growing church, every single member is essential. That includes you. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
You hear about that sometimes. People say, well, all non-essential personnel need not report it. You know, you got, I'm non-essential? Yeah, we don't need you. Non-essential personnel. There's no such thing as non-essential personnel in Christ. Every believer in here has something to supply. Here's the biggest lie of the enemy. You don't need to go to church today. They don't need you down there. That's a lie from the enemy. We need you. The body of Christ needs you. Amen. So I don't have much. Whatever you got, we need it. Amen. We need you.
Dwelling place, dwelling place.
The Apostle Paul loved the Thessalonians and the little church that was established there. But as with anything in life, there were a fair number of obstacles to overcome. You're listening to The Dwelling Place, a time of study in God's Word with Pastor Al Pittman of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. If you've been tuning in lately, you know that we're in the midst of a verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. Well, we're back at it today, and I invite you to turn to chapter 3 now, as we join Pastor Al where he left off yesterday.
I'll be honest, in full disclosure, there have been times in my life where I've had a stony heart, man. I just hardened my heart. I get sick and tired of folks. Amen. I'm just being real about it. Amen. And I just hardened my heart. And there's times in my life when I've been cut, choked off from the intimacy with God because I was so concerned about what other people thought about me and the cares of this world and all of that. It choked the word off. And I've had to repent. Ask God's forgiveness. There's a remedy. That remedy is repentance. And what is repentance? It's to take your heart. Don't try to fix your own heart. Amen. No book and no seminar will fix it. Take your heart back to the manufacturer. Amen. Take it back to the one who created it. Amen. And this is, amen, give him glory and praise. Amen. And I've had God renew my heart again and again and again by the promise that he's given us here in Ezekiel 36, where he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, you'll be sensitive to my touch again. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments, simply his word, and you will do them. You won't just be talking about them, but you'll be living them out with understanding. Amen. So the good soil in Matthew 13, 23 that Jesus talked about accurately describes what Timothy discovered when he came to Thessalonica. And so we find, secondly, in verses 6 to 10, Timothy's report. And Paul is just gushing over this good report that Timothy brought back. And so in verse 6, Paul says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distresses, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. I mean, man, we're going through all this stuff, but we were just, man, overjoyed and comforted to hear the good news about you. And then he says, in verse 8, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? You guys are awesome. For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect, underline perfect. You got an old fashioned Bible? What is lacking, underline lacking, in your faith. Timothy's report. And we see in this report, you get a glimpse at Paul's heart for the church. Man, I mean, Paul could be a stubborn guy. Him and Barnabas got into it one time, and he reconciled later on. But, you know, he could be stubborn. But you know what? He had such a love for the body of Christ, for the church. And we see that reflected here in verses 6 to 10. He says, man, I can't wait to get to you guys, to see you guys, man, to perfect what is lacking in your faith. That word perfect, the Greek word katarizo, and it means to repair, to adjust, or to equip. He said, I can't wait to see you guys, to help equip you guys for the glory of God, that you might be even more fruitful. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul the Apostle says there that within the body of Christ, that every member within the body supplies what they have to one another within the body, so that the body, that which is lacking in the body, can be satisfied. That we might come, Paul says, to be a perfect man, that is a healthy body of believers through love. And Paul says, I can't wait to get there with you guys, man, because I want to help perfect that. I want to help build you up and fill up that which is lacking, equip you with that which is lacking within the body. That word lacking, the Greek word again, husteroima, and it means simply it means deficit, rather, I should say, or poverty. Interesting. He says, that which is lacking, because, you know, there was a lack. Wherever there's a lack in the church, he says, you know, I want to fill it up. I don't want the church to be impoverished. I don't want to see you guys in a spiritual deficit. I want to fill up that which is lacking. And it's the same way with us in the body of Christ. Everybody here, God has blessed you with a gifting, with something in your life, you know, just your service to the body of Christ. God wants to use that service to edify, to build up the body of Christ, to fill up that which is lacking. You know, if we need servants in the Sunday school ministry or nursing ministry or usher's ministry or whatever, you know, we ought to fill up that which is lacking. You say, well, you know, I can't sing, I can't do all these other things. Hey, it's all right. Whatever God has given you, he's equipped you with it to fill up that which is lacking. Maybe it's just a gift of encouragement for other people. He wants to fill up that which is lacking within the body of Christ. And so according to Ephesians chapter 4, we are to be supplying to one another that which God has given to us so that we can help build up the body of Christ. Yes, sir. Listen, show me a spiritually impoverished church and I'll show you an apathetic, apostate group of believers. People who come on Sunday who want to sit on their hands and, Pastor, you work. We're here to watch you work. Pastor, you do the work. If I hear about it, if there's a need I see in the church, somebody ought to do something about that need. I'm going to go tell Pastor Al. You know what Pastor Al's going to tell you? Then you fill it. Amen. Oh, don't get offended. Let me tell you now, so long as you won't be mad at me later on. You fill it. Amen. I'm just letting you know. Because Pastor Al don't need another project that's 62 years old. Amen. I'm not looking for another project or another vision. Amen. God has given me his vision. I know what he wants me to do, but he's called me to help equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. Amen. If there's anything lacking here at Calvary Worship Center, it's because God's people are not responding to his Holy Spirit. Amen? And so if you see a need, fill it. Don't report it. Sign up for it. Find out who you got to talk to. Amen. That's the church, folks. And I'm not saying that because, you know, oh, there's this great deficit here. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just telling you, that's the way the body is supposed to work. That's the way if you're not blessing the bride, there's a problem. If you just come in to be blessed all the time, that's a problem. Our faith is not a consumer-driven faith. It's a service-driven faith. It's what we give to God. Amen. It's not what we can get out of other people or out of the Lord. And as we serve, Jesus said, when you lose your life, you'll find it. Amen? And notice here in our text that Paul was overjoyed by the fruitfulness, the service of the church of Thessalonica. He was thrilled. He said, man, you guys bring us so much joy. We're going through it here at Athens, man. But you know what? We heard about your fruitfulness and all. It brought comfort and joy to our hearts. Glorious. Every believer is essential to the body of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as non-essential believers in Jesus or non-essential personnel. You know, you hear about that sometimes. People say, well, you know, we all non-essential personnel need not report it. You know, you got, I'm non-essential? Yeah, we don't need you. Non-essential personnel. There's no such thing as non-essential personnel in Christ. Every believer in here has something to supply. Here's the biggest lie of the enemy. You don't need to go to church today. They don't need you down there. That's a lie from the enemy. We need you. The body of Christ needs you. Amen? So I don't have much. Whatever you got, we need it. Amen? We need you. So Paul cannot wait to get to them to fill up or to bear fruit, to do his part for the health and for the edification of others. The good report regarding the Thessalonians was a true source of joy for him, and he couldn't wait to get there. Man, I just want to get there to perfect and to fill up that which is lacking. Here's the last section that we come to in our text. It's verses 11 to 13. This is what I call Paul's prayer. It's a twofold prayer. He says here in verse 11, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Amen. That day is coming soon, I pray. But we have this prayer. It's a twofold prayer. The reason I say it's a twofold prayer, because first and foremost, he asks the Lord. He's praying and seeking the Lord's direction. In verse 11, he says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you." In other words, Paul tried to get there. Remember, in chapter 2, there in verse 18, he said, "We tried to get to you, but Satan hindered us." We talked about that some time ago.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. As we course our way through the year 2022, there are a lot of uncertainties. If there's one thing that needs to be consistent, it's the broadcasting of sound Bible teaching, like you hear every day on The Dwelling Place. We need your financial support to continue this radio ministry. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message, titled "The Path of Fruitfulness."
And now he's saying, you know what? May the Lord make a way for us to come. In other words, I don't know the way. I don't know how. I don't know when. But God can get me where I need to be. What a great faith lesson for us. If we want to be fruitful in the Lord, then we need to wait upon him. We need to let God do it his way. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know when it's going to be. But you know what? I'm going to trust the Father that he's going to get me there right on time. I'm not going to try to squeeze out the fruit. I'm going to let him deliver me, bring me to the place that I need to be. Amen. So Paul is trusting and asking, seeking the Father's direction and guidance and trusting that the Lord would get him to Thessalonica to see the saints once again. And then the second prayer that he prays here, the second part of his prayer is that he prayed. Well, first and foremost, let me give you the scripture. Psalm 37 verse 5 says this. It says, "Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall direct," he shall bring it rather to pass. Amen. Commit your way unto the Lord. God, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I commit my way to you. And that's what Paul is saying here, this first half of his prayer. The second half, he prays for their increase. He prays for their increase. And he says here, "And may the Lord," verse 12, "make you increase and abound in love." Now, I thought that was interesting. Why would he pray that prayer? I pray for your increase. Why didn't he pray for increase financially? Paul, that's a prayer I want to hear. Why didn't he pray for increase in influence politically? Because it would have stemmed the tide of persecution against the church in Thessalonica. He didn't pray for them politically. Why didn't he pray for them numerically? So that he might have a mega church. He didn't pray for them to be increased numerically. How did he pray? He prayed that their love, they would abound in love, and the Lord would increase their love for one another. And why is that? Because numbers, political influence, financial gain is nothing without love. 1 Corinthians 13, you can have all those things. You can have a growing church. You can have a flourishing church. You can write books. You can do all these things. People can know your name. You can have the president on speed dial or whatever, you know. But if you don't have love, Paul said, you're nothing. Sounding brass and clanging cymbal. Amen. This is what Jesus said, John 13. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know what? That you are my disciples. Really? Isn't it by our big numbers, Lord? No. Is it by, you know, our fancy building? Is it by, you know, our outreaches? No. By love. By this they will know that you are my disciples. If you have love, now look what our love is directed toward one another. Love begins, charity, as they say, begins at home. It begins in the body of Christ. If we can't love each other here, how can we impact the world? And notice God works through love. He says that God may cause you to increase and abound in love. And then verse 13, so that you may establish, that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness. Pastor, I want to be holy. Then love. You never hear that sometimes. You know, holiness was the way you dressed. Do you have a tie on? Do you not have a tie on? I mean, you know, did you comb your hair back? You know, I mean, whatever. Well, I want to be holy. It's all about the appearance and everything else. Listen, you want to be holy? Then love. God says, if you will love one another, I will make you blameless in holiness. And I will establish your fellowship. Amen. But you got to love people. You got to love one another. And notice also that only Jesus can give the increase. I love that. He said, may the Lord make you increase. The Lord make you increase. Yeah, because you can't fake love. Amen. Because I can only do this for so long. And then I get sick of folks. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You can only fake it for so long. But God can give you increase. He can increase the border of your heart and enable you to love, yes, even your enemies and those who spitefully use you, Jesus says, so that you might be like your Father who is in heaven. Amen. We can't love like that. Our love is limited, but his love is eternal. Lord, you increase. No, I got to do more. I got to do more. No, just be more. Be more in love with Jesus so he can expand your love for others.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul said some water and some plant. He said to the church in Corinth, but God gives the increase.
Yes, sir.
And right here, Paul is saying that he may increase. Let God do it. He will do it. He will increase as we decrease our capacity to hate and to segregate among ourselves. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of what? Perfection, man. Well, we may not have a lot of amenities that other churches have, and other churches may not have some of the amenities we have. It doesn't matter. The bond of perfection is love, not our coffee. Amen. It ain't bad, but I'm just saying. It is love. Amen. Paul's prayer for the church in Thessalonica that they would abound and increase in love is my prayer for Calvary Worship Center. And sometimes, like, Lord, how can I pray for this church? Pray that we would abound and increase, and that God would cause us to make us abound and increase in love for one another. I've often said it. I'll say it again. I'll continue to say it. And that is, I don't want to be known as a church where there's no conflict, because there's conflict in every church. Amen. Conflict in every church. I want to be known as a church that are willing to love each other through our conflict so that the world might believe that God sent his son. Amen? That's my prayer for this fellowship. We're going to have conflict. The devil's always shooting arrows and doing his thing. But if we're willing to love each other through the conflict, the world will come to believe that God did send his son. It's kind of like marriage. You show me a marriage without conflict, I'll show you two single people. Amen? I mean, because Norm and I have been married 42 years, and I'll tell you what, we've had a lot of conflict. We're not together because we don't have conflict. We're together because we're willing to go back to Jesus again and again and again and to love each other through the conflict. That's how you get to 42 years. Amen? You don't do it on your own. God increased our capacity to love. Amen. Praise his holy name. Well, in conclusion, here's the lesson for the day. The lesson for the day is very simple, and it is this. The path of fruitfulness in our lives in Christ is the path of faith and love. So we already talked about that, faith and love and all in verse 6. Yeah, but I want you to know that this is the path. This is what we need to maintain in our lives. This is the trajectory of our lives that we need to be focused on, faith and love. If I'm over here in hatred and resentment, something's wrong. I need to be focused on faith and love, because if I'm focused on faith and love, then I will hit the target. What is the target? The very heart of God. And every day I live my life, I'm living it aimed at his heart. That's victory. Faith and love cannot be separated. They're synonymous, they're the same. You cannot have faith without love. You cannot have love without faith. You know why? Because it takes faith to love. It takes faith to love those who wrong you. It takes faith to stay in a marriage when you're going through a struggle. It takes faith to love your enemies. It takes faith to love. They're not separate. Don't ever separate them. They're together. So this week, I'm going to challenge you to find someone to continue to walk that path. I know things are going to be thrown at you and try to knock you off course. The devil's going to try to destabilize you. You stay on the path of faith and love that you might bear fruit to the glory of God. Amen. That you might walk in the ministry, or as use Timothy as an example of establishing others and encouraging others, that you would establish others and encourage them. This is how we walk in faith and love. That is establishing others in Christ and encouraging one another in Christ as well. Not judging others, not scrutinizing them like the devil, but as Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Yeah, I don't know if they deserve it. Freely you have received, freely give, because you didn't deserve it either. Amen. That's walking in faith and love. Freely establish and encourage others. In fact, today, before the day ends, pay somebody an unsolicited, unsuspecting compliment. That's your assignment for today. Before the day ends, if it's 12 o'clock at night, you go, oh, I forgot to do the assignment, call somebody. They'll be mad at you for a moment for waking them up, but say, hey, just want to call and tell you, I appreciate you, man. I love you so much. You're such a blessing in my life, and you know, you're an inspiration to me. And they might forgive you, amen. Pay them an unsolicited, unexpected compliment, whether it's your spouse or somebody serving your table in a restaurant, and watch love at work.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device, and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.